You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. AJ Rudo Blaze coming to you live as the Avs win this one in overtime. They take it 2-1 over the Montreal Canadiens in a game that it feels good for dominance to get rewarded, I would say, for the most part. Really, the same sort of problems were creeping up on the Avs in this game, but they figured it out and got the job done. I'll leave it to AJ to give you the 60-second rundown.
Ready?
3, 2, 1.
I don't remember, what was it, 90 seconds into
something
the game?
Something like that, yeah.
Some dude from the Canadiens that I've never heard of. Outskates Eric Johnson. Richard.
Richard.
It's his first goal.
Yeah. Dick's first goal. gives them a 1-0 lead as he outskates Eric Johnson to a spot. The Avs, from the start of the second period on, completely dominate the game. Don't get rewarded in the second period. Do get rewarded in the third period when Arturi Lehkonen ties it against his former team. They go into overtime after a sketchy couple of last few minutes there in regulation. Go into overtime. And the ultimate 3-on-3 result is you go from watching a puck sitting just on your goal line with the goalie not right there to being in the net at the other end of the ice, thanks to Mikko.
Not bad. Whew.
Man, and talk about, like, at the end there, like, it was that mad dash for that puck from everybody.
Yeah.
That's what led to that.
Yeah.
To that odd man rush.
Yep. Everybody sent it.
Are we good? All right. See you guys later.
Yeah, done. We got to get home because of the snow.
You guys should see outside right now.
Just wanted to explain the dominance in the back second period and onward in this game. Avs gave up 12 shots in the first period. Montreal had 8 through the rest of the game.
Wow. Including overtime.
Including the one in overtime. Second period, 4 shots given up. Third period, 3 shots given up by the Avs. In reflection of that, the second period, the Avs had 19 shots on goal, 14 in the third period, and of course the game-winning shot in overtime.
To build on to that too, 43-22 in scoring chances, only 10-9 in high danger. So really good job by both goaltenders in the high dangers with the high danger, but 43 scoring chances is a pretty solid number.
That's better than pretty solid.
22 scoring chances would be the lowest number that a team averages in the NHL.
Yep.
So, good defensive effort overall. You don't love how many high danger chances were available.
For sure.
Including the one in overtime. But also, Alexander Georgiev.
Yep.
You know, he's not going to be our king in the game, but that's a guy that continues.
He only gives up one.
He had a disastrous road trip. That 1-4 road trip that they went on. 1-3 road trip they went on. And then they came back home and got punched in the face by Boston. And ever since then, Georgiev has been back to being the Georgiev we saw at the start of the year.
I'll take a league goal in the first over third period goals any day of the week.
Well, and like he gets 60% of a breakaway goal.
Yeah.
And then that's literally the only goal that he has given up in 2 games.
Yep.
Is a leaky
breakaway
90 seconds into a game.
Yep.
It's one goal given up in 2 games.
And since you've so nicely brought us back around to the start of this hockey game.
Hello.
Not going to have a whole lot of negatives tonight. don't ever want to dunk on one player too much. It was a rough one for Eric Johnson tonight.
And Sam Girard.
Liar. I don't think that one's come really on Sam set. Girard at all.
Right?
You're going to come across as saying he was bad.
I will throw Charles Houdon at you.
The thing is, with EJ, the skating just isn't there like it used to be. And that's pretty much what led to this goal, right? He's floating on the far side of the ice and just... it's this weird situation when players get old, right? Because they need to understand that they're losing a step and make reads differently than they have for their entire careers. A spot that's normally where, oh, I can get back, is now a spot where he can't get back anymore. So it's a bit unfortunate for EJ on that part. But these things happen. I do think you need better out of EJ. Generally, he had a couple of slides that weren't great tonight. His offense just doesn't exist right now. It's tough.
Like that breakaway, like you were saying, he was just out of position, and he can't recover that anymore.
Yep.
You know.
I don't know. It's unfortunate, but you need smarter decisions from EJ there to help the Avs. Obviously, it worked out okay. You're fine with it in the end. But in the moment, definitely not good enough. AJ, I'm going to ask you this question because I've asked it before. My responses were pretty unconcerned about it. Is there anything to the Avs starting a little bit slow in these games lately?
Yeah, they're missing a guy like Nathan MacKinnon who helps them set tones in games early on.
Yeah.
By coming out in the first shift, losing the faceoff, tracking a dude down and going and getting a scoring chance 19 seconds into a game. And that gets the whole bench vibing and blah, 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 blah. Like, missing the impact that that top line has on a game where they get off to such a crazy good start. I do think that it's hurting them. That said, there's no real excuse here for them to continue to come out. And really, as a team, it wasn't like a super slow start. It wasn't like the Canadiens were buzzing and dominating them and any of that shit. It was really a lot more of Eric Johnson just kind of lost track of a guy, and a guy made a better play than him.
Yeah.
And that was it. And that's the best scoring chance that either team had the entire game.
It was a great breakout by Montreal there.
Yeah.
It's a quick out off the boards.
It's a nice play.
Yep.
Girard gets caught in a little bit of no man's land because he's not really defending anything.
Yeah.
But he also doesn't know that Johnson's...
has abandoned his post.
Johnson's right on there. The other side of the face-off dot, like, on the other side of the ice there.
The Johnson is, like, wildly out of position.
Yeah.
And Girard is like, well, I can try to do something here. I can try and back way off of it.
But
and entice that guy to skate, or he's gonna do what he did.
Yep.
And so that's a tough play. That's a tough spot for G to be in. But it really, that play really is like Eric Johnson just gets beat more than anything else.
Yep.
Well, and he almost gets back too. Like, he was close.
It felt like he could have made a better play on the guy when he came back. He seems like he closed the gap and then kind of just whacked him with his stick and fell off him. I don't know. Did you want more there, AJ?
Sorry, I was paying attention to my wiggly ass microphone.
I know. EJ, the actual play on the guy when he gets back, did you want more there?
Oh, God, yeah.
It felt a little weird, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was gonna go with a comparison.
How are we gonna come up with the 11th love one?
I was gonna go with a comparison and decided to gear that one down. Really, just did not provide an adequate amount of resistance in that situation.
Agree.
To be honest with you, I would prefer that he just
takes his skates out,
yank,
give
chain,
him the old fucking tug, and make him go through thinking about it.
Yep.
Because in a breakaway, I just got to go. I don't have time to do any of this. I got whatever. A guy like that who's never scored in the NHL, mm-hmm.
put him in on that a
situation.
Shootout.
You put him in a penalty shot situation. Oh, he's gonna think about it.
Icing the kicker.
Well, it's exactly the same theory.
Given NHL reffing, who knows if they even give him a penalty shot?
I would have absolutely given him a little nut tug and just seen how it went.
I would have because he needs stick.
There it is.
Stick to the back of the
skates. I knew you were gonna get the 11th love language.
That's like, what do you mean, man? That's physical touch. That's like the
first love.
That's one of the first seven, bro.
And you know, the other side of that, in the moment, I'm sure EJ's not thinking, well, they have the worst power play in the league, but it is does happen to be true.
Yeah, honestly, literally anything would have been better than
touching him and blowing up your own skates.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Of course, if he does something like that and the guy scores on a penalty shot, I could be sitting here saying, just let him go.
Yeah, for sure.
He didn't have time to make a move. You know, like it could very easily build the narrative from that angle as well. So it's very easy from my seat to sit here and say, I want Eric Johnson to do more. Really, what I want Eric Johnson to do is not lose the man in the first place.
Yeah. True. They'd solve it at the source.
Be in front of the man.
You're trying to, instead of putting out a fire with a fire extinguisher that might be past its expiration date, you're just not setting it ablaze in the first place. You know?
Yep. Good ideas aren't formed three mistakes in. You're just down the hill at that point.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
From there, how do you feel about the Avs' defensive performance on a whole tonight? I know you talked about it. There were some high danger chances given up by Colorado, but on the whole,
just got danced by Kirby Doc. Yeah,
yeah, low key bad tonight.
On the whole,
are you giving low key bad tonight?
Are you giving credit to the Avs defense for the dominant possession, or are you giving credit to the Avs offense for the dominant possession?
I think Colorado's turning it around over the last several games of shot suppression has far more to do with the forwards and their combination of the guy Nichushkin and Lekkonen, the forechecking pressure that they bring.
Sure.
Edin Rodriguez, of course. Their forechecking pressure, their ability to attack, their ability to reload in the offensive zone and win puck battles, to hem teams in. Because when you're playing offense, you're not playing defense. But also, their ability to track back and be disruptive in their own zone is what makes this group of Avalanche just such a hard team defensively to deal with because, you know, you add a Landeskog, you add a MacKinnon into that, and, you know, you push some of these guys like Compher down, who's a good defensive player. You know, it's really such a good all-around group. And one of the big reasons why you are talking about the Avalanche is, you know, we wonder if they are on a path to repeating as champions. It starts with the way that the forward core helps on defense and the way that as a unit they make teams work for their offensive chances where, yeah, there are going to be some breakdowns because the Avs make aggressive mistakes because they're always trying to get that puck back as quickly as possible and then fly up the ice with it. You're going to make some aggressive mistakes, which will lead to some chances, but that's where you pay your goalie, and Alexander Georgiev is showing, like, once again, back on the path to this guy might be a real answer. And I think that combined with the way that they defend as a team, I'm not going to say it's the defensemen because there's more forwards than defensemen out there helping you
on any
play
given
defense.
Time. Yeah.
So, you know, you need those guys to come and help. And I think that's really what has elevated them defensively. Is the addition, that trio, Lekkonen, Nichushkin, and Rodriguez, are all such quality two-way players that the floor of Colorado's play has gone up so much in the last week.
Well, and big ups to the coaching staff as Biggie's playing. But it's one of those things, too, is like the consistency of having these lines together for a little bit of, you know, for a few games here, that they're gelling a little bit because they are playing that really, really hard forechecking game. Everyone knows where everyone's at.
Yeah.
And it's paying off now, right? Like at the beginning, there was just some there are some big gaps going in it because you're not really understanding what the other guy's doing on your line. But now that they've been playing together, buying into the system that the coaches have put together, you can tell it's hard to play against.
Yeah. Would you say Jared Bednar is Big Papa?
Oh, I was going to say the same.
My man, we vibing tonight. I had to turn it down a little during that watch along, but
you were popping off on the watch along a little bit.
Look, man, that Christian Dvorak joke was great.
It was a high level joke.
My joke was better.
Okay.
About ranting and stick.
I'm good with it. I'll give it to you, man.
Where do you draw the line when it comes to games like this in frustration with their inability to finish and quality play? Because the facts of the numbers are there, right? It had been over 100 minutes since the Avs' last regulation goal, and that was an empty netter.
Yep.
You have to add another 20-plus minutes onto that to get their last goal that beat a goaltender in regulation.
Yeah, their last 5v5 goal remains the Alex Newhook goal.
Yep. So, not great.
It's not great. The finishing is just not there right now. It's not that they're not getting chances, though. Mm-hmm. They're getting quality looks at the net, but then they're just putting it in to a chest area every time. And I don't know what's going on there. Like, it just can't keep up.
So, scale of 1 to 10, because that was your question. How frustrated are you? Scale of 1 to 10, how frustrated are you guys with lack of finish? Because I feel like I'm going to be on an island on this.
Very low.
So, your frustration. So, 10 is I'm so frustrated.
No, I'm asking,
I'm going to rip that thing down and I'm going to throw it through the window.
I'm like even keel with it, right? Like, because they are getting chances. It's a 5 because they're not finishing.
I think it's more like a 7 or an 8 for me, probably.
Oh. Okay. Why?
Because.
State your case.
Because of the length of games that this has been going on for at this point. Okay. That, and like, I'm not seriously concerned about it. I'm sure they will break out of it at some point. And I understand that the injuries are still leading to players playing up in the lineup from where they really should be. But you have to win hockey games. And thankfully, the Avs did tonight.
They're 4-1.
They're playing great on this homestand. But they're making life harder than it has to be. And sure, some of that credit goes to the other goalies playing well. But you have to find ways to finish plays. It does not matter how pretty a play looks all the way up to the goal line if you don't put it in the goal.
Yeah.
It's where I'm at with it. I just, it'll come. Again, I'm not worried about it, but let's go. It's been a few games. It's time to show up now.
I'm at a 1.
Yeah, I figured.
You know why I'm at a 1?
Because they won.
You made the case. You made the case for me.
Okay.
We're winning games.
Yeah.
And that, for me, look, we've talked about this lineup. Is this lineup going to win playoff rounds? No, man.
Yeah.
They're not.
That's pretty clear.
They're not. But right now, they're good enough to beat teams like the Montreal Canadiens. They're good enough to beat the Philadelphia Flyers. They're good enough to outplay the Buffalo Sabres and have Tage Thompson dunk on them. They are good enough to scrape by varying quality of teams. The New York Islanders, pretty good team.
Yeah.
Didn't give up any goals to them. The thing about the, well, they've only got one regulation goal in X amount of time. All right, well, they give up not a super meaningful goal in that Nashville game in that third period.
And
I mean, it didn't end up mattering, so that's why I'm saying it's not.
It's whatever, yeah.
And so they give up that goal. Then they had a shutout.
Yep.
Then they gave up one goal again tonight.
Yep.
You're talking about they've given up 2 goals in 3 games. And so if you're going to go through a scoring drought, the way that you can continue to live through a scoring drought is to give the other teams one of their own.
Well, and that's,
and for me, that's why I'm not pressed about it, because if they're losing 4-0 and they're not even coming close, that lack of finish stands out a lot more.
It's true.
But they are just finding a way. We have talked about, we went into the MacKinnon injury and said, this is now survival.
Yep.
Like the most of survival of survivals that it's going to be all year long. You just need to get through this. And this is now where they are. They had a 4-1 homestand without Nathan MacKinnon while barely scoring goals. Would you like to see more?
And this is
absolutely, of course, but they're in the room that they're in. There is not a significantly higher ceiling of scoring for this group. They're going to struggle to get three every single game.
And this is
without Mac.
This is where my frustration with the lack of finishing is a very acute thing, because the rest of their game, it's real hard to have a lot of complaints about for Colorado right now. To me, it kind of feels like there's two levels here that are unsustainable. One, it's unsustainable for the Avs to play this well and not start scoring more. And two, it's unsustainable for the Avs to keep winning games when they're scoring this little. So one of those is going to break. I'm confident that the Avs will start scoring more, even with this lineup, than they have been lately. And certainly once they start getting their superstars back.
I mean, how many high-danger chances did they have tonight? It had to be...
10.
It's 10. 10? Yeah.
So pretty damn good.
It's fine. Yeah. It's not a great number. It's not a bad number. It's a 10... 10 high danger, those are grade A chances.
Yeah.
You know, for me, it's most of the time it's going to be relative.
For sure.
They give up 10.
Gave up 9, yeah.
They gave up 9, they generated 10, so it doesn't feel like a big win. But for me, it's really like they did create 10 high danger chances. They just didn't finish them, you know? Like, that is not a thing that continues long term in the NHL. If you create 10 high danger chances, eventually will start to fall your way.
It's,
you know, shooting percentages on high danger chances are much higher.
Even
they're much closer to like a 15%, you know? And so when you score 1 of 10 or none of 10 for 2 or 3 games in a row, you know that there's going to be a game where you might score 5 of 10. As long as you continue to generate them, they will eventually go.
Not worth losing sleep over.
I would be considerably more concerned if they weren't generating them in the first place. Like, you go back to that Bruins game where they generated 9 scoring chances. 9 scoring chances. The lowest number that they had generated in a single game since 2016, since December of 2016. That is a massive concern. Yeah. 9 scoring chances is unfathomably low. 10 high danger chances with 43 scoring chances, you are putting your hockey team in a position to win. In that, if you could just take those numbers and go game to game and say, this is more or less what we're going to produce, and then add in the excellent defensive results, add in the quality goaltending, they are going to win 70% of their hockey games.
And again,
flat out.
I don't know how you don't love almost everything else from this game. You have one pretty bad read from EJ.
The song.
And you have dominant play from the Avalanche, even if the puck didn't go in as often as you would like. So my frustration with the team, very, very low. It's just specifically the lack of finish that I'm frustrated.
Totally. And, like, it's the only area of real criticism right now, other than they don't, once again, we are back to, they don't have a fourth line.
Yeah. Yeah. And
my personal crusade of Martin Kaut continues to pay the price for the sins of being Martin Kaut.
Yep. Despite Jacob McDonald getting in the lineup for under 3 minutes of hockey again tonight.
Yeah, German, not much better. I mean, it's...
Yeah, you're not wrong. I don't understand the system from the Avs there. And
There's just no trust.
I don't understand the mindset of it.
Right. Yeah. You're just willingly playing 10 forwards every night.
Like, because really, like, the... You can't call up Jean-Luc Foudy and Charles
Houdon. Give those dudes 6 minutes.
who were giving you an interesting 7 minutes a night.
Yeah.
9 minutes a night.
Yep.
They were generating shots on goal every single game for you. They were doing something other than skating around like a bunch of pissed off veterans who were being disrespected by their head coach.
I don't know.
Like, for me, it's starting to get to the point of like, I really think Jared Bednar is a very, very good head coach. But this is a thing that I think is, unless he is pulling them aside and telling them ahead of time, this is kind of what we're expecting. This is where we are. Because even game situation stuff, it doesn't fly with me for this level of ice time. This is...
Well, game situations, like, you're still over the 6-7 minute mark, and then you're cutting because of game situations.
I mean,
There's no game situations where you're playing 3 minutes.
Yeah,
like,
that's...
Hey, good first shift. Now you'd sit down.
Like, I would die to hear the conversations between the front office and Bednar of like, what's going on there? Is Bednar telling the front office, "Hey, I'm going to play this dude 3 minutes a night because I don't trust him"?
And it should be noted that there's a roster freeze in place, and
right?
Stuff like
of
that,
course, so,
that,
yeah.
in the moment.
The Avs are limited by the guys that they have.
Yeah,
but
there is did the roster freeze start? I don't actually know what day it is.
I think it starts Friday.
Yeah, it does start Friday. I didn't know what day it was. there will be a roster freeze in place, but also I'd have to look at cap considerations and all that stuff.
There's
as well.
A million different factors.
There are things that I'm blatantly ignoring in this conversation. So if I'm just being stupid, I'm open to that idea.
No, but I like the idea. Like
I do think it is a little disrespectful to establish veterans that, and especially a guy like Jacob McDonald, co-captain of the Eagles, on a team that could absolutely badly use his help. That he's just not even getting played, and I mean we're talking about Jacob McDonald's ice time like this is a meaningful thing
it's
here,
not,
but
yeah,
you know,
I mean it's meaningful for him.
No, but if you switch that fourth line out, like what you saw from Hudon, Foodie, Kout as a line,
something you can actually play.
They played them and they played them minutes. I mean they were not a lot, but it was 6-7 minutes a night, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes more than that, even. On that note, we are brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. You can find some at your local liquor store. Use the Breck Beer Locator online to get on that. And be sure to get on the nice list. Still a little bit of time before Christmas to get some giveaways from Breckenridge Brewery. We're also brought to you by Illegal Pete's. You can go down to any Illegal Pete's location from 3 to 6 p.m. for happy hour. There are 12 in Colorado and Arizona combined. And you can get yourself a gift card, a little present for the holidays. You get a $100 gift card. They throw an extra $25 on there for free for you. So that's like three free burritos from Illegal Pete's, basically. You're going to want to jump in on that. Go get yourself some delicious Illegal Pete's. There's one just a couple blocks away from the bar. Sometimes a great place to go and vibe for a little while. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Second period of this game, a little more acutely. The Avs are a really good hockey team. Or certainly they are significantly better than the bottom feeders of the league like Montreal when it comes to process. There is little doubt the difference in caliber of possessing the puck tonight. It's great from everyone. AJ, I know you mentioned the forecheck pressure from guys like Nuke and Lecky.
Yeah. Well, and they're working the neutral zone too.
Yeah, for sure.
Just their two-way acumen.
But you see that, you see it trickle down the whole lineup. You saw multiple shifts of Ben Myers just on top of dudes chasing down pucks in the offensive zone tonight.
That might be my personal love language. watching Ben Myers become the guy that they were really kind of
hoping
for
he would be
at the start of the year, because he looked super bad, and then he goes down, he gets that core injury, and you were like, oh my god, did the Avs finally win a major college UFA sweepstakes? And
he's not the dude. Yeah,
he's a bum. And yeah, no, I've really loved Ben Myers the last handful of games. Really loved him, and that difference is just, it's so good. It's so good down the lineup to have that guy helping. Yeah.
I go the other way, the other guy in the lineup tonight, Blaze Malgin, thoughts?
Took a penalty, not so hot.
Are we dinging Dennis Malgin for that penalty?
Oh yeah, so we did talk about that, right? Like that happens 100 times a game.
How much of that is
for? It's because the Avs were up 2-0 in the calls.
Yeah, and so, it's a third period, and they are dying to give them one, and he is 15 feet from the ref, and the ref is like, "This is justifiable."
Yeah,
I won't get dinged for this by the league after the game when I review it, and I can say I gave Montreal a power play.
But for someone that's comes in, doesn't really know the system yet, right? Just kind of fresh there. You saw some positive things from him in the defensive zone. Great quick breakout pass.
Yep.
Gotta love that. So, you know, things are clicking there.
Yeah.
It feels like this could be one of those trades that just needed to happen. Just maybe change the scenery, kind of like gets guys going.
Trade makes perfect sense from Colorado's perspective.
They were getting nothing. They were driving home.
Well, Toronto, I'm just like, okay.
But he hadn't been doing much up there either.
Not my pick, not my farm. Yeah. So I don't give a shit.
But he hadn't been doing much up there either.
Yeah, but
so
that
change the scenery again.
Yeah, right. But I mean, you're talking about a guy that was playing next to the traitorous swine and Mitch Marner. You know, And going from that to we traded him straight up for Dryden Hunt is like, is Dryden Hunt going to take that job? Just kind of a weird like yo-yo that they went on. And for me, I wondered, did Toronto put a claim in on Hunt? The Avs were higher in the order, and they got him.
And they just wanted their guy. Yeah.
Toronto wanted him, and they thought the Avs, they called the Avs and were like, hey, you putting this guy on waivers? And the Avs were like, yeah. And Toronto's like, well, we don't want him going elsewhere. We'll give you this guy for him. And the Avs were like, yeah, we like that guy. He fits our profile. It's my personal conspiracy theory. Toronto put a waiver claim in on Hunt earlier this year, lost him to the Avs. Toronto wanted to make sure they got their man this time. That helps them in a way that their team specifically would want with that physicality.
All right.
And Malgin helps Colorado in that they right now certainly are looking for a guy that can maybe min-max their offensive punch a little bit.
Talk yourself into some finish there. Yeah.
You're saying maybe we're going from a guy that, you know, has a 2% chance of scoring to having a 7% chance of scoring. Where you're like, it's not significantly better, but it's better. And right now that's what we need.
Fair enough.
So that's where I am with that.
Regardless of whichever guy you're talking about, I don't know how you don't love the way the Avs played the second two-thirds of this game.
Yeah, like, I don't know how there could be complaints there beyond, well, they didn't score more goals.
Right, that's the literal only thing you have to say. It was just really, really good hockey from Colorado until someone had to shoot the puck.
They're still showing
the 2020. Does it still say 2020?
It
that's
still
hilarious.
Says 2020 on there.
We're going to get this footage once and only once. I know it's a cliche, and we talk about it all the time where it starts from the top, but Blaze, you talked about it. Mikko had 8 shots on goal tonight.
Yeah.
It ends up being Lecky scoring the Avs' first goal.
Talk about somebody like McKinnon steps out. There's kind of a void of you got to go out there and show what needs to be done on the ice. And he stepped into that position. It's not only just the shots on net. It's the playmaking. It's the, I mean, his forechecking, his hitting, like, it's all just been times 10 since McKinnon's been gone. And it's good because McKinnon comes back and hopefully keeps that play up and doesn't just defer to it. He has that feeling.
I really do want to give Mikko credit because I think at times, especially like if you watch the watch along, we got into this a little bit, where sometimes Mikko does try to do that cute shit and you're like, that's way too cute, Mikko. What are you doing?
Yeah.
But it's
this
also
the thing that got me dragged on Twitter.
There's also like the 12 other plays in the game where he's just bawling out and dominating fools. And it's like, yeah, no, he's actually really good at hockey too, even if he gets a little too cute at times. And again, you know, obviously, is the graphic ready? We can just do the graphic now since we're talking about
him. I mean, is he Go-Go Gadget, by the way, with a stick? The stick is different size. Like, seriously, it's like,
I feel like the stick is normally that long and it's retractable. It's like an opposite go-go.
Well, he'll
gadget.
Also play with like his hand on the blade his second hand halfway up the stick.
All I'm saying might be coincidence, as he is, of course, our king of the game, involved in both Avalanche goals, which we'll get to.
Yep.
Mikko scored a ton. It couldn't be that Nathan McKinnon's out of the lineup and they need a goal scorer. It's because he hasn't done the sand wedge play. All right? Big brain theory.
Well, this is my entire fucking point about Mikko Rantanen is look at where he's scoring goals. Look at how his game has changed. Look at what he's leaning into that's driving him as such a monster right now. His playmaking is awesome, but that's he doesn't have reliable finish around him, so he's doing all the goal scoring, but he's also dominating physically with his size and showing the kind of game that he should be having all the time. Because when McKinnon's around, he falls in love with all the cute shit.
Yeah.
And he ends up with 2 secondary assists because he's the guy that stands down there on a power play and as Makar and McKinnon do some great shit. And like the guy's talent gets lost when McKinnon is around because Mikko defers. Mikko deciding that he's gonna be the goddamn man now
and is
a thing. If there was ever an argument for breaking up Nathan McKinnon and Mikko Rantanen, this stretch should be it where you see Mikko saying, all right, I'm going to step into the spotlight.
Absolutely.
I'm going to keep it simple.
I'm going to make the easy, the correct play. I'm not going to do all this like fancy, high-end, dipsy doodle nonsense, and I'm going to go physically dominate everything in the world.
I disagree with you on one point.
That's because you want to be wrong.
Miko is not a man.
Fair enough.
Well, they need to take... Yeah, it's kind of like what? It's like the 2015 Penguins with Malkin and Crosby, where they start...
Yeah.
Instead of playing them on the same line, they split them up to get more production. And yeah. It's kind of that thing, like you were saying, is like, he shouldn't be deferring. That's not his game. Well, but he does when McKinnon's on the ice, because McKinnon just... That's the game that they've played forever.
Another example of this back in the day was Peter Forsberg on Sakic's left wing diminished Peter Forsberg's greatness.
Split him up.
So they were best on separate lines, where there's not any defense in the world built to just be like, we survived Sakic, now it's Foppa. Yeah. There's not any defense in the world that's designed for Nathan McKinnon to come barreling down the ice at them, him to get off of it, then Mikko Rantanen to come barreling down the ice on the very next shift.
Oh.
There isn't one single defense equipped for that, except for maybe Team Canada, and they don't get to play the Avs.
Yeah.
So,
and with the secondary talent that you have in the Avs now, once everybody gets healthy,
right?
That is two wicked.
And this is not this is not a Mikko at center conversation for me. This is continues to be Miko's doing all this from the wing.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's played very little time at center this year. Put an Erod, put a Lekkonen with him.
Yep.
You put Landy and put Nichushkin. You know, you get to split.
That's monstrous.
You get to split up kind of your problem children, and you put adults to be responsible around them, and let the children off the leash.
Yep.
And say, all right, we'll rein these dudes in when we have to, but otherwise right now, we're going to let them run wild, and we will make up for the defensive stuff along the way.
Wild child.
Because that's where I think the Avs... this is where, for the first time ever, I'm starting to think, you know, Mikko... If this is how you get Mikko to embrace being this, is to take Nathan McKinnon away from him, then you keep him on separate lines outside of power plays.
Yep.
Broke the camera.
You put them on separate lines outside of the power play, and then you put defensively responsible guys around them, who can also be guys that play with talent, which we've seen between Nichushkin, Landeskog, Lekkonen, and Rodriguez. They've got four guys already that can do it. If they want to go get another one, they can. If they would rather use Compher than Rodriguez there, I would disagree. But the way that he's played so far this year, you can't really make like a strong current argument for it.
Jonathan Taves at 2C?
This is where the versatility comes in. This is the weirdest commercial, dude.
It's very strange,
I'm supposed to get struck by lightning, and now I work for Domino's? What the fuck just happened? And so that's where I just don't... I think that this dominance that we're seeing from Mikko can stay.
Yeah.
But these are the lessons that need to be learned along the way.
That you have to give him room to do it.
Yeah.
By the way, whoever's playlist this is, fucking crushing it tonight.
It's very good.
good. Get him on the sticks more often. Look, the Avs, one theme we started to see with their wins very, very consistently, win the special teams battle.
Yeah.
They score their one on the power play. They kill the one penalty they have to kill tonight.
This is a great
power play goal, too.
Oh, beautiful.
This is where you're like, look, a team that has a talent deficiency somewhere on your roster, when you have an extra guy on the ice, you just have to make that shit count.
Yep.
You've got to bury that, and it's a great play by Mikko because they were buying that he was shooting.
Yep.
That's why the forwards collapsed on him and opened up that passing lane. He did that, and he had no intention to shoot that puck. He had every intention to draw the defense in and to put that on Arturi Lekkonen's stick, and it just happened to be a perfect lane and a perfect pass, and then Lekkonen with the perfect finish.
And the other thing there is, from last year to this year, the bumper play. Thank God there's some separation between the bumper play now.
It's not the one-foot pass.
It's not a one-foot pass anymore. It makes so much more sense. And like you said, on a bumper play like that, that's what you're trying to do, right? You're trying to draw them to you.
Moving the defenders.
To open Lecky up in the middle of the ice, and that's exactly what they did.
Worked out perfectly on that one. We are brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account. You get $5 bet in on an NHL team to win their next game, and if they do, you get $150 in free bets with that DNVR code. Or you can just follow Blaze's bets. He goes 2 for 3 again tonight, with the lucky goal being the big money winner for him.
That's what I'm averaging right now, 2 for 3. I'm good with that. Making money.
You're making money on 2 for 3, that's for sure. So get in on it. You can bet on whatever you want on DraftKings. Of course, doesn't have to be hockey, football, basketball. Someone was betting on lawn darts the other day. So you can really bet on anything over there, I'm telling you. Go check it out. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See the show notes down below for details. And, of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. We're also brought to you by the people over at... Is it Game Time? I'm pretty sure it's Game Time. It's Game Time. Game Time. Also have a link down in the description.
What I say when I go outside to scrape off the snow on my car.
Game Time! That's going to be me the whole way home trying not to crash, dog. Anyway.
You're pretty pasty white, but those knuckles are about to be a lot
whiter. Yeah, they're going all the way white. Yeah,
although they're going to be transparent.
See through to the veins. Game Time, you can use the link in the description like Yaya's showing you right now. Over 15 million people have used it. It helps us out when you go through that link. You can get tickets, obviously, to the Avs, but to any sporting event in the country, basically. You can see where your seats are. They'll show you views of the ice and everything like that. And you can get deals up to 60% off with Game Time. So you get amazing prices no matter what through them. Check them out with that link to Game Time down below, and be sure to download their app. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Yeah, just genuinely dominant. I don't think we ever looked it up, but there had to be like a 15 to 20 minute stretch of hockey where the Avs just did not even give up a shot on goal to Montreal.
I will look it up when I get home. I was going to go through the event log and see what that stretch was, because it sure felt like 3 shots in 29 minutes or whatever. Like, they locked it down, the periods 2 and 3, and kind of in overtime.
It's a little sketchier in overtime, for sure. But
Drin made a great move.
3-on-3 is 3-on-3. You're going to have a little bit more going on there.
That move is why you give Mikko an adult.
But look, an overtime that actually ends in overtime for the Avs this year.
You got it right, the right way, with a W.
With a W.
With a W.
You're not wrong.
It's not an RW, but it's a row. You're still climbing.
You take it where you can get it. Georgiev ends up getting a secondary assist. I don't know if he's actually credit. He should certainly get a secondary assist for it.
It wasn't upon first look. But
let me look right now.
Talk while both of us race to do the same thing.
Makes a fantastic save on that Druid move. Mikko recovers from getting torched, takes it up the ice, creates a 2-on-1 with Devon Taves. Mikko Rantanen is just an insanely good shooter. Like, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know if there's anyone on the Avs I have more confidence in finishing walking down like that right now. So it's,
I don't get it.
Cale Makar on a good day, maybe, but his finishing hasn't been great lately. Nathan MacKinnon, very, very good player. Don't know if that wrister from the outside of the circle is really his game. AJ, Mikko, best shooter on the Avs by a mile.
Why are you asking me, man?
Because I know you're going to say yes.
Yeah, you know that I've been talking about this for like 2 years, dude.
All I'm saying is it's nice when that's the dude walking in to have a little bit of confidence in a guy on a team that isn't finishing very well.
I will tell you, when he walked in, when Taves gave him the puck.
Yeah,
I mean, you can watch the watch along. I was like, it's Mikko time. Yep. Like, you knew. Like I said it like he's a fucking Ninja Turtle or something. But he just walked in, and you just knew. Like, you knew he was scoring. Like, you know, like, we haven't even talked about it, but, like, this is a dude that could seriously be challenging Milan Hayduk's, you know, goals. 50 goals.
Yep. It's fun. It's really fun time
right now
for him.
The Avs aren't scoring a lot, but Mikko is.
Mm-hmm.
He's just okay, well, I'm just going to go out and score another goal.
And
make AJ look stupid.
That's all it really takes right now for Colorado. Because, again, they're playing great hockey besides the scoring. They're allowing themselves to win games 2-1, 1-0. Even if they probably deserve more goals than they've gotten.
Yeah, I mean, you look at expected goals, they had 6 against the Islanders.
Yeah.
Now, they had 26 high danger chances in that game.
A little out of control.
Yeah. When I got home, I was like, that's got to be the highest number in a long time, right?
Nah.
It's not even the highest number this season.
Really?
Yeah.
You forget how good this team is when they're healthy.
That's true. 28 has happened a couple of times league-wide. It's the highest by the Avs in a while. I didn't check all them. But
there you go.
Man, this team is dangerous if they can get healthy.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking a team with no Nathan McKinnon, Gabe Landeskog, Bowen Byram. Yeah. Like, no, the team lacking those cats, and they had a game in which they won 1-0 with 26 high-danger chances. Like, what?
Hockey,
those guys were the
weird, man.
You trying to tell me those guys are the difference between 26 and 30 high-danger chances? No, it's the difference between 26 high-danger chances and no goals and 26 high-danger chances
I think
and 5 goals.
The Avs actually end up with less high-danger chances because they scored on a bunch
exactly. Because there was no fucking rebound.
We got a couple of super chats to get to here. $2 from Kevin, who says, the moose got loose.
Yes, he did.
He's just absolutely a monster right now for Colorado.
I'm telling you, it's no longer a nickname. It is a lifestyle.
You don't choose the moose life. The moose life chooses you.
In Soviet Russia.
$2 from Vaguely Sober, who says, Heart DNVR, be safe with the nasty weather out there.
Yeah.
It's going to be gnarly.
If this is our last pod, it was fun, boys.
Same.
Appreciate the thumbs down from the one Habs fan who was hanging out with us today.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Big Habs fan that like wanted to talk shit about how boring cities in Canada other than Quebec City were.
I mean, sure.
It's cool, man. All right.
If you say
so. Tell me all about it, dude. Just don't tell me that Winnipeg's the most boring city in Canada. There's no way that shit is true.
Just can't be true.
You could say it's bottom tier.
Coldest, maybe.
It's bottom tier.
Boring. Boring. It's the most boring. I'm sorry, but do they have power in Saskatchewan?
Wow.
Major city in Canada.
You watch the Yellowstone spinoff, what is it, 1923? That's present-day Saskatchewan. I'm kidding. Shout out all my peeps in Regina. I love you guys.
Another $2 from Kevin, who says, Moose Gang. What is a group of moose? What do you call a moose group of moose? Do you really? Is
no.
that real?
No,
yeah, I didn't
it's
think
moose
so.
Eye.
It's definitely not moose eye. A problem. Yeah. I
a
love
problem
it.
Is
yeah,
a problem
is
a great
perfect.
Answer. That's a great answer.
And another last second super chat, $2 from Ryan saying, local moose in great mood today. Any final thoughts before we get out of here? One more game before the Christmas break?
Yeah, 4-1 in at home. Nice little stretch.
Not bad.
I will say, I think the threat of complacency for a team that hasn't had consecutive days off in nearly a month.
Settles in real quick.
Three days off.
Overlook that one a little bit. Yeah.
There's major. They get bopped 6-0. Huge letdown potential. Now, you trust that this Avalanche group has proven a lot of times now. The last couple of years that maturity-wise, they're on a different level. They take things seriously. But they're also missing a healthy chunk of that leadership group that drives that emotional bus. So I'm just going to say, major letdown potential on Friday. And who cares?
Yep.
A 4-1 road trip or a 4-1 homestand.
You're 6-4-1 in December.
You're
doing fine.
At the moment, you really don't care about like the Preds having points.
Yep.
They're not like a team that's really on your serious radar here.
Yep. You're pretty much chilling.
And as we learned, as I tweeted out, the numbers for it, Matt Duchene score, Nicole.
Oh yeah. Guaranteed.
So you gotta get at least two on Friday, and I don't know if that's happening.
Well, what'd you say the score was gonna be?
6-0.
I said it could be like 6-0. Like
so he'll score the fifth goal. Cool.
All right.
It's true, but wow.
On that dig, we're going to get out of here.
I've seen this show before.
Oh, my God.
We appreciate all y'all hanging out with us. Hope y'all stay safe with all this cold weather as well. We will be back tomorrow with our 1 p.m. off day show. Hope y'all will tune in for that. Until then, we'll talk to you later.